Right, so I will hit
There we
record
go.
then.
Somebody's
Okay,
got it.
great. Now we'll start over.
Okay. It's October 9th, 4:01 p.m. It's called the Finance Committee meeting to order with a roll
Okay.
call, please.
Ann Chandler.
Here.
Ryan Johnson.
Here.
Kevin Kelsey. Kevin Latos.
Here.
Christy Lair.
Here.
Okay. And then we have Karen Bounds, Leslie Bednar, Shirley Payden, and Rhonda Jonassy as staff. Board.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? If not, I'll move on to approval of minutes from September 11th, 2023 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those as presented?
This is Ryan, so moved.
Thank you, Ryan. Kevin, thank you for a second. Any discussion? If not, roll call, please.
Ann Chandler.
No.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Christy Lair.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, motion carried. Having no unfinished business, let's go on to acceptance of the September 2023 bills. Assuming everybody has read those.
I do have a couple questions.
Okay, Ann.
One was a curious question on it was mileage reimbursement to Champaign for a work day and a shower.
I think that was for one of the share staff who went up there to work, but also attended a shower for one of the staff members that was having a baby up there too.
And that was on work time.
Yes, that was during work hours.
Not the shower. The shower was hours.
Do what? The shower was on work time, is what she told me. Is that correct?
Leslie, is that what they were doing up there that day? Did they take a break to have the shower? Or did they do it during lunch time?
I think that we see those showers, they don't happen very often, as kind of like the equivalent of a, or the same as a retirement reception. So you can do it on work time if you need to. Just simple fact, I don't know where this person was driving from, but to get to Champaign from the Edwardsville office, it's over 2.5 hours. I think it's around 3 hours from the Armadale office. So they've probably put in most of their time just on the travel that day.
I just saw the shower tacked on there. I thought that was kind of odd. On work time, I didn't care if she did it, after work. I noticed on this for this ILA conference, you have 17 people going. That would be more than 50% of your salaried staff. Why is there a need for that many people, number one, and number two, is this their only professional development for a year? Because the way I calculate it, with all those expenses and with your booths, et cetera, you're going to be spending almost $20,000 on this event.
I can handle that, Rhonda, if you'd like.
That's fine if you want
Okay.
to.
So we have two kinds of conferences when we budget for travel. There are conferences that our staff attend, like the Midwest Marketers Conference, where it's a couple people, or ARSL, where it's like maybe five or six people. But and then there are the conferences where we are there intentionally to either A, exhibit, or B, to interact with our members where they are. And this is one of those opportunities. So there's the Association of Illinois School Library Educators, ILE, that happened last week. That's one of those conferences where we are there because our members are there, and it's relatively close and easy for us to get to and to participate and network with our members. And then there are the conferences where we are going for our own professional development. The third reason why we support the ILA conference to the extent that we do is that it's actually in the legislation that we would be members, in the founding legislation, that we would be members of ILA. The understanding is that we would support them, and that's an organization that supports our members, therefore we support ILA. This is not an uncommon practice for us, and there are several grants that are exhibiting or presenting. There's the ILEAD trustee training portal. They're presenting on Thursday to the conference to the trustee day attendees. There are staff who are presenting at the general meeting, and there are staff that are presenting, that are there exhibiting or presenting, sorry, presenting for like the Catalog and Maintenance Center. Then we have staff that are also presenting there because of a particular expertise that they have. That's why
see several
we do
were
that.
Presenting, but I just thought the number was extraordinarily high. And I quit. And Rhonda, Rhonda's name stood out because I know what she does. Some of the other people, you know, I don't know, but I'm thinking, okay, how can Rhonda benefit from this conference when there's really nothing there in regard to finance that she can learn or anything else? So, you know, it seems it's a lot of money. You do need representation. You have people presenting, which is good. But that's over half, basically half of your salary staff for one. And from what you're saying, if this won't be their only conference, probably. So
not for all of them, but for some of them it will be. And for someone like Rhonda, or for Jill, let's take Jill and Rhonda for an example. Jill has initiated a new ILA forum for HR and administration to answer those kind of questions that our members may not have access to because of their size and their own budgets. It's really important that we be there to present. An interested face, have conversations with our members, and especially where the HR and admin forum is concerned. That was an initiative that we brought to ILA, and we were happy that they were interested in it.
And I will mention there are four funds that are paid from this for individuals coming out of this. So, and all four of them have booth representations. That means all four booths have to be manned the whole time. So it takes a lot of staff to try to rotate and take advantage of the sessions and the presenting. And it's just a very choreographed conference, as heavy as we do have our presence there. And as far as I have attended with the previous CFO during trustee day. We learn about financial issues that are happening with the libraries and things that they face. So as we are helping, you know, look and support our members and look at fees for share and things like that, we are also gaining knowledge about what our members are facing in a financial sense too.
Like I said, I appreciate your explanation. It just seems like a high number of staff. The other thing that I noticed was on the Fort Harrison bill, it was $460 for 4.7 hours. So I'm assuming once again, their rates have gone up again. I just think you could do better at an Illinois law firm. You're going to pay, but nothing like this. So that's all I had to ask. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I'd ask for a motion to approve the September 2023 bills as presented.
Ryan, so moved.
Thank you, Ryan. We have a second. Kevin seconds. Roll call, please.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
And Christy Lair.
Yes.
Okay, moving on to the financial reports. Rhonda, you had some things you want to take us through?
Sure. So as of 9:30, we have not received, unfortunately, any additional grant receipt in like general fund or any of the other funds. I was hoping to see something from our system area per capita grant in September, but we did not. So we hope to look forward to that in the month of October and see what we receive during that month. So as far as the expenditures go in the statement of revenue and expenditure statements, you can see that in general fund, the total expenses year-to-date actual are below year-to-date budget by 4.4%. So we're still trending under budgeted numbers there on the expenditure for general side. and everything that's under that target benchmark of 75% for personnel and 75% for all lines except for personnel, which is 73, are listed with an explanation. So pretty standard items that we've seen before throughout the statements. In the general or in the share fund, we still are, the actuals are above year-to-date budget because of those heavy expenditures. And then we have spent money on the Aspen implementation. So that still kept us up above our budgeted numbers. But as far as receivables go, you can see on the share we have billed out for a total of $1,388,102.94. So that's 89% of the FY24 budget, and we have received 93.8% of that. So that's really good. We are kind of where we expected to be, right under 100,000 where we normally are at 930 from the share fees going out. So that's pretty standard numbers, and maybe even a little bit better than what we normally see by that time. So I know we are getting more checks in and getting some of those resolved that either they've gotten lost or said they weren't received by library. So we're working on cleaning those up and receiving the rest of those receivables for share. And as far as their normal expenditures, everything's listed there. That's pretty standard too. For the cash balances, you can see that general funds cash balance of a little over 4.4 million will fund general fund operations by itself for 11 months. And then it would fund general fund and special revenue, excluding CMC, because we have received enough money to sustain CMC for the first half of the year. So that would last us for 10.1 months carrying those other two grants. And then on the share side, their operating cash, which is their unrestricted cash of a little over 1.7 million, would fund them right now for 9.7 months. And that's really all I have to note. Does anybody have any questions for me on those statements?
Okay. Thank you, Rhonda. With that, I'd ask for a motion to move this to the board for approval.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Ann. Kevin Kelsey, second. Roll call, please.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Okay. Kevin Latos.
Yes.
And Chrissy Lair.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, motion carried. Moving on to the proposed budget amendment. This, I don't think, is any surprise. We've talked about this. So, Rhonda or Leslie, you want to take us through it a little bit?
Sure, I can do that. So, as we had talked about, I think at a few meetings in the past, we have had that surplus of revenue over expenditures from the FY 2023 in the general fund that was pretty substantial. So as we have done in the past, we have taken that money and moved it over to replenish the capital projects fund. So this is what we are doing here. We just want to have some approval documented for our auditors to satisfy them, and just to also be consistent with all of our past practices with doing some large transfers or amendments as we have in the past. So that's just what we're doing here, is to approve that transfer from those, that surplus of funds from the general fund over to the capital projects. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Well, I guess I was curious, because with this share and the raises like that coming up and small libraries not being able to do Aspen, couldn't money like this stay where it is and perhaps be funneled for something like that? Because do we have any big capital projects coming up?
Well, we have quite a bit of purchases where, you know, if you recall in the budget, we were had a pretty significant deficit in that budget too. And it's declining because of the projects, the roof here in Edwardsville, The high cost of vans that have increased significantly. So this is needed to go over into our capital projects. Share has its own operating. As you can see, they're almost 10 months in, you know, of cash. So that's taking them into the next fiscal year. So they have their own surplus of funds really to work with the share fees if they decide to do that. But for general fund, I think this is the best plan right now, is to move this money to surplus and replenish what we have utilized out of that capital projects last year and this year.
Okay, all right. Thank you. I was thinking of more building projects, but I'd forgotten about the vans. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. So on the last page of this exhibit, the right column is the change, is that correct?
That is correct. So that's just the proposal. So that's adding, the green is the revenue. So on the capital projects, it's showing, you know, the increase on those charts in the green on capital projects, that whole amount as an increase just to revenue. On the general side, it's showing that in the red or orangish color, off to the left of that, it's going to be increasing by 423,000. So unfortunately, our, you know, deficit's going to increase in the general fund, but the money was there left over from last year. It wasn't really eating into this year's grant receivables. It was just from that surplus we had last year. So even though it looks going to look higher than what we had, that money is, you know, there's no way to really avoid that. It's just knowing where that money's coming from. And we know that it was there from last year's funds, and we're just moving it in this fiscal year after we've got the confirmation from the audited numbers. And this is what it was.
Okay, any other questions? If not, I ask for a motion to move the proposed budget amendments to the full board for approval.
It's Ryan, so moved.
Thanks, Ryan. We have a second.
I'll second.
Thanks, Kevin. There's a theme today. Roll call, please.
Ann Chandler.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Okay. Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Christy Lair.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Assuming no more public comment or announcements. With that, let's have a motion for adjournment.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Ann. Second. Thanks, Ryan. All in favor, I assume. Aye.
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 All right. I appreciate everybody's time and the staff's time around the explanations and stuff. So see everybody next week or whenever it is.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Goodbye.